Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DiNicola.
And next week, we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. Now, I mean, we don't have a whole lot of time to discuss spiritual gifts because it's a huge subject, but we're going to talk about spiritual gifts, and I don't know whether we'll have much time for panel discussion. I hope to have a little bit of time, but also what I want to do next week, which is a little different, is I want to have a time of prayer for gifting and ministry. Okay, so you may be here and you may feel God's called you in a ministry or called you into an area of serving Him and equipping, and you just need God's gifting, okay? God has to give the gifts, okay? But there's a time when I believe that God stirs up gifts, according to the Word of God, through the laying on of hands and the prayers of the leadership of the church. And so we're just going to have a time of praying for you for ministry. So you may be involved in serving the Lord right now in some way, and you might say, you know, I've never had hands laid on me to pray for this ministry. Or maybe you've been serving the Lord for years in that ministry. Or you may have a heart to do something, and you say, you know, Lord, would you just anoint me for this? I was with Holland Davis the other day, and I found it interesting. He said when he first started playing worship and guitar, he said I liked playing guitar, but he said I didn't have a very good voice. Holland Davis, you didn't have a good voice? I mean, you don't just like get a good voice someday. You either got it or you don't, I'm thinking. He says, you know, he says, I just prayed and asked God for one. And I think we can do that. I think if you have a need and God has a call on your life, He wants to gift you for that call. And that's what we want to do next week, is just have a time of prayer to ask God, Lord, you've given us spiritual gifts, and we're just coming to you and asking you to gift us so that we might serve you better. So that's what we're going to do next week. Okay, up to the microphone. Questions on the church, not on spiritual gifts, till next week. Hallelujah. He's going to the bathroom.
Just for the record, I asked God for the gift of harmony.
I know.
Didn't happen.
Harmony.
All right. Two-part question that I will preface by agreeing with some of the wonderful things you're saying about this being, a united body, even in our diversity. I love the different family units within the greater body of Christ, and this is, I believe, a family unit. So my questions are really about the government of this church in particular. One is, why don't we have membership? And two is, why aren't the congregants involved in decision-making?
Okay, that's good.
I did actually want to talk about church government, but I just didn't have enough time.
Well, there you go.
But more important, membership is a better question, because I've not really addressed that in this setting. I've addressed it in my leadership meetings. We've talked about it a lot over the years. We don't talk about it a lot, but over the years, I've been pastoring this church, this 26 and a half years I've been at this church. So we've talked about it different times. And my good friend Neil Trevisano at Mission Viejo, he does have membership. So it was a big kind of conversation, and it caused me to really think about membership. The reason why we don't have membership is this. It's really me, okay? It's about, I'm the one that pushed this against membership, okay? Because my board was kind of going either way. They were kind of either way we wanted to go. And I was more the dividing factor. And there's two reasons. One is I feel like when you have membership, it can produce in people this idea of I'm a member of the church, therefore I must be going to heaven. And I just feel like, you know what? I want that tension. I want you to know you're a member because you are spiritually part of the body of Christ, not because you have your name on the rolls of this church. We technically and officially have a membership, and that is our church directory. So if you're in the church directory, you are technically a member. And there have been times corporately where we've been asked, what is your membership? And we just hand them our church directory. So if you're not in the directory, you're not considered a member of this church because you haven't wanted to be a part of this church in participating enough to give us your address and phone number. But if you are attending this church, you've made it your church family, we consider that membership. But we don't make it a big thing. The second reason, Randy, is what I've found in a lot of churches is membership causes a two-class party in the church. We have members and we have non-members. And of course, in order to be a member, you have to go to certain classes. And then in order to be in ministry, you have to be a member. And what area do you cut the line off? You have to be a member to be in leadership. Well, then you have to be a member to, we should be a member to be a Sunday school teacher. And now we're just putting all these bridges to what you've got to be in order to be part of a church family. I don't knock membership, and quite frankly, membership has some advantages. We have a problem in the fact that we don't have a membership of when we have someone that is living a lifestyle that's not in what we feel in harmony with the biblical distinctives that this church holds. We have to then approach them and go through a lot longer, guided, gentler process with this person or persons than membership. Because membership, they got to sign the line that they're going to do certain things, and usually you also sign that you're going to tithe to the church. If those of you that have been members of churches, you know what I mean, and you've experienced that. And so it just sets up just so many things, it gets carnal. So that's why. I'm not going to say it's right or wrong, it's just my decision. As far as church leadership, I think that's a great question. Like I said, I wanted to address it, but it's a big question. But I'll answer it kind of quickly and briefly. I don't have a problem with any type of church leadership. And I used to think one was maybe better than another. But as I've looked at all the different types of leadership, I've realized every one of them have good points and they have bad points. They have pluses and negatives. And you're going to have problems with any kind of church leadership that's out there. If you have a congregational church leadership, that creates a whole whole problem. There's a church leadership of a presbytery. That's how you have the whole Presbyterian denomination. There's whole denominations that are literally divided on that one issue, church leadership. And then there's the Calvary Chapel leadership is more of a pastor-led leadership. We feel that the pastor has the heart, the vision for the church. And quite frankly, I could have more of more singular authority if I wanted to according to our corporate bylaws and according to the method and model of a Calvary Chapel church. I have chosen, just personally, that I work better in a plurality of leaders. When I became the pastor, when the leadership asked me to be the pastor of this church, I told them, look, guys, I don't have all that's needed. I need a team to lead with me. And I've always felt that way. And so I look to my leaders as being part of that team. And my feeling is this. If I can't get my leadership on board with some harebrained idea that I feel like God's calling us to do, then maybe I ought to just sit and pray about what I feel like God's calling us to do. Because if my leadership isn't feeling like that's the Lord's voice, then I would be really wise to fast and pray over that a little bit more and allow him to either change their hearts or allow me to either hear a little more clearly on things. And so that's kind of the method of leadership that we have felt works best for this church. And we feel, I should kind of add this, we feel here, and there isn't anything wrong or right about this. Like I said, there's some pluses and negatives to both models. We feel that a pastor is a ministry gift. It's a calling. And so is an elder. An elder is a ministry gift. It's a calling. An elder is a pastor. It's just that in our society, the pastor guy gets paid. The elders are pastors just as much as I am. If something happens to me, they are called These two elders that you see here, they are called to lay their lives down for this flock as much as I would. Just because they don't get a paycheck, there is nothing different between their heart, their passion, their ministry call, their responsibility to you as the flock of God. Nothing different. Now, the deacons, we don't have quite as high a bar for them because a deacon ministry is more of a servant role than a leadership role per se as an elder. It's still a leadership role, and we feel God calls people to the office of a deacon. That's why we don't vote on them as a church. Oh, who's going to be our deacon or elder this year? To me, that's silly. If you have a ministry gift and that's your calling, then you should be operating in that gift, right? If you, and quite frankly, at Calvary Chapel Missionville, when they went to membership, another thing they did is they disbanded their elders and their deacons, and I think they call them something else. So they don't have them anymore because it's a different kind of church governmental structure. Nothing wrong with that, and there's some pluses to that too, where you vote on the people every year, and then they go on for 2-3 years and they go off. You get kind of some fresh ideas, and that's good. But what I'd hope is if you have fresh ideas in the body, that you're sharing them with us as the leaders, and we are bringing them before the Lord. Right now, quite frankly, I have someone that has said to me, I would like the leadership of the church to pray about XYZ. So I said, that's fine. I wrote it down. It's on the docket for our next leadership meeting. This person has asked us to pray about it. We are going to sincerely consider and pray about that, okay? And what I like about this person is they are submitted to say, you know what, same as pastor. If this is the will of the Lord, he's going to confirm it with the leadership. If it's time right now, they'll get with this and they'll hear from God too and they'll have an amen. If it isn't, then we wait on the Lord and just pray some more. Amen? So hopefully I've answered that. I felt like I took that myself because I felt like that was really my place to have to answer that. But you guys might have something to add to this, which would be wonderful.
There's a little bit more to this, not so much about leadership, not so much about membership per se, whatever the term really means. In the letter to the Ephesian church, Paul talks about chapter 5 especially, where he defines the relationships, husbands to wives, fathers and children, and bosses and servants and all of that stuff. But he starts this whole thing out, and he's talking to the church. He kind of sorts out these different relationships, but he's talking to the church. Here's what he says, and we should all wear this. We should all live this. And I say this because leadership has to model this and live this and have this in their heart from day one. Here's what he says. Therefore, this is verse 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So the first thing about membership, if there is such a thing, and then leadership, if you want to consider that, is absolute servanthood. We don't do this for fun. This is something that requires us to humble ourselves and let God speak. It's not our great ideas. This is the Holy Spirit. This whole concept, this whole idea of church is Holy Spirit stuff. We're the mouthpiece. We're the hands that create and then act out what the Holy Spirit desires. So this whole body is a work of the Holy Spirit. It's not us. We're the ones that God has assigned, and therefore we serve as his directors to you. So we take that pretty seriously too.
I should make a comment too, but that was a great question, Randy. So everybody's clear on how we operate, and as Pastor Steve mentioned, we're pastor-led. We could be board-led or congregation, but, and like Pastor Steve, maybe all those could work. we've always been led by a pastor, and we have an incredible pastor. If we had maybe a very young, immature pastor coming up, maybe there'd be more of a board-led church. But this has worked great. We have someone, just as an example for tonight, who could have put together better teaching for us tonight? I mean, it's just amazing. And he has a heart of a shepherd. We call him our pastor. But we had one other pastor in the 30 years I've been here. Just an example, we had a pastor who was more of an administrator, wonderful teacher, but not a shepherd. Didn't love you. Didn't love me like Pastor Steve loves us. So I look at my role as just supporting Pastor Steve. He runs things by us. We look at those things, and we talk about those. But really, I feel that Pastor Steve, you know, is called to this position, as he said, and that he hears from the Lord. And like I say, he's been leading us so well for so long. And he does want to hear from us. But if there's too many, too much voting going on, then we could just be, I think, a church of confusion. And we're blessed to be pastor-led and to have Pastor Steve as our pastor. And again, we're supporting here, and we have, you know, it's amazing because we are a small church that when anyone comes up with an idea or a problem or something, it comes through us. It's not, I don't think it's blocked or anything, and we discuss these things, and we see, is it God's will? Does God want this or that? That's it.
Well, let me say this too, and we're talking about membership. There's this attitude or this idea that you've heard us talk about before too, that as living stones being rightly fitted together, as Pastor Steve has talked about, that's a work of the Holy Spirit too. So if you're out looking for a church, visiting here and visiting there, somewhere along the way, as you submit yourself to the Spirit, you're going to know that you're in the right place. Everything is going to fit. You're going to hear the pastor's message. You're going to go, oh, I really get this. And you're going to associate somewhat, maybe visit or just meet some of the people in the church, and all of a sudden, you like them. And that's easy to say, I like this place. But ask the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that's putting you in a church. And you're a living stone that needs to be rightly fitted in with the rest of those living stones. If it isn't working, you don't go there. But if it is, you belong. So rest assured, if you feel comfortable, and that's a physical thing, and it's also a spiritual thing, the pastor is feeding you, you feel like you belong here, rest in that you are a member of this body. And that's all you need to know. The Holy Spirit has led you here, and this is where he wants you. The next question is, how are you fitting together? What purpose do you have? How are you serving? What are you being led to do as one of those living stones?
Let me address too, because I know the thoughts probably come in your head. Why these five of us, okay? Or you might say, why the four? Okay, I see why Pastor C is the pastor. But why these four guys, elders and deacons? Because I know that comes up in our minds sometimes. And to be honest with you, we have more elders and deacons than just two elders and two deacons in this church. And we also have deaconesses in this church, okay? That we don't have the title, the leadership title of elder and deacon on them. And the reason why it's just a semantical thing, it's a word thing, is because of this. When we place that title of an elder or deacon on someone, all of a sudden they're put in a place of higher warfare and of higher prominence and now higher visibility in the church. And quite honestly, I have prayed about and even asked people over the years to prayerfully consider maybe that God might be calling them into that ministry because I see that gifting on them. And I've been declined by people too because they're just not in a place where they're ready for that place of warfare. It could be that God's still working some things in their life. They've got the gift. They've got the call in. But they're falling short because of maybe a besetting sin that they just feel, you know what? And you know what? That's good. That's integrity, amen? Because I may see a gift in someone and the potential, but they know what's really there. Also can be, it ain't that time of my life right now, okay? I got 2 kids, 3 kids, 4 kids, and I don't have time to serve the Lord in the level that ministry would require. It's just not a time in their life. Or maybe they've got relationship problems with their husband or wife. And there's nothing wrong with that, okay? And so I don't want you to think just because Tom and Richard are elders and Gary and Scott are deacons, they're the most spiritual men that we could figure out and put in these positions in the church. No, not at all. They are men that recognize that God has called them to a call, and they are willing to lay down their life as a family. It takes a family to serve this body in that level of ministry. That's all that means. And it's a time for them where they feel that God has called them to that. And there's not always that time. There was a time years ago when Tom stepped out of leadership. He had some things that were work. God was working with him, and he didn't feel like it was right, and it wasn't the right time for him and Suzette to be in that leadership position. I don't know. Do you remember how long that was? It was a year or two. Yeah. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. And it doesn't diminish or demean. I mean, we all know Tom and Suzette have ministry gift, and they've had that DNA since before they came to this church. But you know what? There's just times and seasons for this in our lives. Amen? Okay, well, now it is 8:30. But if you have any other questions, please feel free to ask them. I'm an open book. I was thinking you were going to ask, what are the qualifications of elders and deacons? I happen to actually have it in my planner. I have lists of qualifications. Some of them are biblical. Some are just things that I look for in an elder and deacon. I know your curiosity's piqued. I'll just read it quickly, but I'm not going to be able to read it and define it all. If I can find it, here it is. A deacon, they have to have a call of God to the office, but I'll put it, it's on the CD, that'll be good. Although I'm running low on minutes, I know. A deacon, I want them to have a call of God to this office. They have spiritual maturity seasoned through experience. They need to have leadership skills. I want them to serve the body in a sacrificial capacity. They have to be available for that. I want them to have a heart for the function of the body, that they have a faithful heart there. I want them to be an example to the body in service, an individual of Christian integrity, a person who is humble and approachable, and who exercises the virtues found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. My qualifications for an elder are a little higher than that, a little more pastoral. And this is an elder, I want them to be one, same thing, called of God to the office, that they sense they are called and we sense they're called. Then I also want them, they have a spiritual maturity that's seasoned through experience. I want I want a leadership anointing with spiritual gifting. I think an eldership needs to have spiritual giftings that are leadership giftings, okay? Next, they serve the body in a sacrificial capacity, same, we have available, and they have a heart for the spiritual oversight, not the function of the body like a deacon, but for the spiritual oversight of the body. They're faithful. I want them to be really people, men of prayer. They give pastoral guidance and care. They're an example to the body in love, faith and good works. They're an individual Christian integrity and prayer, a person who is humble and approachable. And this is the one that I take even most seriously. I want them to be people, that men that are willing to lay their life down for the sheep. And they exercise the virtues found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. So quite a high responsibility. And I say this to all the leaders when I ask them to come onto the board. None of us live up to the fullness of this, okay? We're all growing. But is this something we see in your life that you're striving toward and that you are maintaining a level of maturity in these things? Amen? Because that's what we want. Another thing I've had people ask, Richard asked it when he became part of the board, and I know Larry did when he was on the board. When I asked him to come on the board, they asked me, they said, you know, Steve, I don't think the way most people do, and I that's just me. And he said, I don't know if you want me to be on the board, because I'm a little kind of a person that's not always thinking with the pack. And I said, that's exactly why I want you on the board. I don't want a board that thinks the same way. I want a board, and we do. We have, Gary is Mr. Cautious. I mean, he's going to agonize over things for months. And even after we make a decision, he agonizes over them for months afterwards, okay? And you know, that's just the way he is. Tom is a little more decisive. He's like right ready to give an opinion. And after we make a decision, usually he's on to the next thing. He's comfortable with that and he's moved on. We're very different. And I love that. I want a board that's different and I don't want a board of mess. Yes, men. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. And thank you for the patience of this church family. And Lord, I thank you for the preciousness of this church body. And so, Lord, we ask that you would guard us, protect us, give us unity of and love, faith, and good works, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.